On December the 4th, 1967, the world awoke to this headline. South African surgeon performs first human heart transplant. Newspapers all over the world carried the account that on the day before, December 3rd, 1967, Christian Neethling Bernard, a 45-year-old South African surgeon, took the heart of a 25-year-old woman and transferred into the body of a 55-year-old grocer named Louis Wachansky. Okay? Now, Mr. Wachansky died 18 days later. 30 days after December the 4th, actually on January the 2nd, 1968, Bernard performed a second heart transplant into the body of a 59-year-old man, Philip Blainberg, who lived 563 days after the operation. And he'd opened up a whole new field in medicine. Heart transplants are done around the world today on a very frequent basis. In our physical makeup, the heart is an important organ. It's actually a muscle. It's a tough, hollow muscle. It's relatively simple. Let me read you the definition. It's an electrically fired pump that squeezes and relaxes at one point in a closed system of flexible pipes to keep fluids within the pipes in constant circulation. Of course, that fluid in the pipes is blood. All tissues in the body depend on this circulation for nutrition and waste disposal. On an average, a heart beats 70 times per minute. It starts beating less than a month after conception, and if a person gets their 3 score in 10 years, 70 years, it will beat 2.5 billion times in their lifetime. The adult heart pumps 5 ounces of blood per stroke, or 4,000 gallons a day, all by that little muscle called the heart. The work done by a heart in 12 hours could lift a 65-ton weight a foot into the air. Or, in a year, the work done in a heart could lift its owner 100 miles into the air. And of course, some of us know this personally. Some of you know this personally. I've never experienced this yet. But if your heart stops, you got a problem. A big problem. So you want to do everything you can to keep that heart pumping the way it's supposed to pump. Now, I say all that to set the stage. Heart's not only important to us physically, it also plays an important part in our spiritual makeup. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." In Matthew 5, 8, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Going back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 3, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." And then from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." This morning I want to ask each person here a question. Here's a question. How's your heart? How's your heart? Now, I'm not talking about the one that beats in your body. I'm talking about how is your spiritual heart. I mean, if we could take an x-ray this morning and we could take a picture of each of our spiritual hearts and we could just arrange them up here and have them all up here at the same time and we could look at them one at a time, I wonder if we would find some hearts that need some work done on them. In all probability, we would. Again, we'd do it in a way that nobody could identify it was yours. I mean, we'd make them all anonymous. We'd put them up there and we'd look at them and we could probably say, yeah, that one needs a little work and that one needs a little work and that one needs a little work. This morning, I want to talk about three groups of people. Three groups of people that are here this morning that need some heart work. I want you to listen. If you identify with one of these three groups of people, then I want to tell you that the doctor is in the house. It's not Dr. Malpractice, and it's not Dr. Where's Dr.? Oh, it's not Dr. Quack. I'm not talking about those two doctors. I'm talking about Dr. Jesus. And he can fix your heart this morning if you have a heart problem. So let me talk to you. Let me talk to these three groups of people that need some heart work this morning. First of all is a group of people that I put under the title foolish. Foolish. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has set in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53, verse 1 starts out with the same proclamation. The fool has set in his heart, there is no God. Now, in both of those verses, the words there is are in italics, which means that the translators added them for our sake so that we could understand the verse better in English. But if you go back and you read those two verses in the Hebrew, here's what it says. The fool has set in his heart, no God, no God. The Bible says that if a person says in their heart that there is no God, the Bible says you're a fool. Now, how's your heart? You see, the Bible says it's a serious matter to call somebody a fool. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Jesus said, be careful about calling somebody else a fool. Now this morning, I'm not calling you a fool. The Bible is calling you a fool. The Bible says, if somebody says in their heart, there is no God, then you are a fool. And I want to ask you this morning, how can you say there is no God? And look, if you're here this morning and you say, if you fall into this category and you say, no God, no God, you need some heart work this morning. You need a new heart. You need to let Dr. Jesus operate on you this morning and fix your heart. You say, preacher, what kind of people say there is no God? The people that reject Jesus Christ. The people that have heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and reject the Savior, what they're in effect, they're saying, no God, no God. I don't need to pay attention to God because there is no God. I don't need to pay attention to his book because there is no God. I don't need to pay attention to the gospel message and the warnings about hell. I don't need to pay attention to those things because they come from that book that is supposedly written by a God, but there is no God. And so if you're here this morning and you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a fool. And again, it's not me. It's God, it's the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit that's calling you a fool. You need to get your heart operated on. Because you see, there is a God. You can't help but look into the world. You can't help but look in the mirror and look at your body and help but realize that there is a God. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Look at nature. Look up into the sky. Look at every plant and flower and tree. How can you say there is no God? Who made all this? Say, oh, it came from the Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory. Pooey. It's what it is, a bunch of pooey. Take the parts of a watch, put them in a bag, shake them up. And if a watch comes out of shaking up that bag, then you can convince me of the Big Bang Theory. But you can shake that bag for 100 years and a watch will never come out of that bag. Somebody has to put the watch together. Somebody had to put this world together. It just didn't come from a big bang. God put this world together. He's the designer. He's the architect. He's the builder. He spoke it into existence. In the book of Romans, the Bible says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Everything we see, look in the mirror, look at how your body works. You think this just came into existence without a designer? I mean, do you think this just came out of the Big Bang Theory? I say again, pooey to it all. Who's ever saying that is a liar straight from hell. Everything that we see about us in nature, in ourselves, was designed by a holy God. Only a fool says, no God, no God. I would remind you that this morning that God is going to judge us. He looks on the heart. We read that verse from 1 Samuel. God doesn't look on the outside. They were picking the next king, and Samuel had gone to Jesse's house, and he looked at the three oldest sons, and they were big and they were strong. And Samuel thought, surely God must have one of these three sons picked out as the next king. And God said to Samuel, oh, no, no, no. I don't look on the outside. I look on the inside. And God one day is going to judge our heart. And he's going to look and see what we've done with Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a story about a man. From all outward appearances, he seemed an okay kind of guy. He was a successful kind of guy. The Bible says his ground brought forth plentiful. So much harvest, in fact, that his old barns couldn't contain it. So he had to tear down the old barns and build new ones. He was rich. He had everything that he wanted. But he said, soul, take your ease. And God came to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul will be required of thee. There is a God. If you're here this morning and you've rejected Jesus Christ, you're in effect saying, no God, no God. I want to tell you, there is a God. Amen. And one day he will judge us. And by the way, if you say no God, what do you put your hope in this morning? What do you have your hope in? We have no hope on our own. What we all deserve is hell. If it wasn't for the mercy God showed us, that's where every single one of us would be right now. The only hope that we have and had, and the only hope that you have if you're here this morning and saying, no God, no God, is to have open heart surgery. You need to get your heart fixed. You need to come like Lydia, as recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. Listen, whose heart the Lord opened. There was open heart surgery right back there in the book of Acts. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She had heart surgery. God performed it. He opened up her heart so that she attended or listened and paid attention to and acted upon the things which were spoken of by Paul. Well, what did Paul speak of? I'll tell you what he spoke of. Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Lydia, you need to know that you're a sinner. Paul said, the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Lydia, you need to know, because of your sin, a holy, righteous God has to separate himself from you. He created you to have a relationship with you, but your sin causes him to separate yourself, himself from you. Then Paul said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lydia, let me tell you about Jesus. The Son of God, born of a virgin, lived among men without sin, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. But then Lydia, you heard about it. He went to a cross, and as he hung on the cross, God took all of my sin and all of your sin, Lydia, and he put them on Jesus Christ. And on the cross, Jesus paid the price of our sin. What Paul said. And then Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. With the heart man believeth. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And the Bible says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and she paid attention. She attendeth unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And she called upon the name of the Lord. And she asked Jesus into her heart. And she was saved. She was saved. If you're here today and you're in this first group, you need to do the same thing. You need to let Dr. Jesus open up your heart. You need to attend to the things of the gospel. You're a sinner. The wages of your sin is death. But the gift that God has for you is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. God took all of my sins. All of my sins he took and he put on his son. And on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid for every one of my sins. And he paid for every one of your sins. And if you'll ask, if you'll believe that this morning and ask him, receive that for yourself, the Bible says he'll make you one of his children. He'll forgive your sins. He'll wash them away. You can stand before God just as if you've never sinned, justified before God. Let him operate on your heart this morning. How's your heart? How's your heart? How's your heart? Number two, second group of people I want to talk to. I'll put in the first category was foolish. Here's the second one, backsliders. Backsliders. These are the people that know God. They've accepted Christ. They know what it is to be his. But they've let some sin creep in and take control, and they're not serving God the way they should. They're not spending time in the Bible. They don't pray. They don't enjoy church. They've lost their joy. They've lost their peace. They've lost their contentment. Listen to what God says in Jeremiah 24, verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. God says, I'll give them a new heart. These whose heart have hardened, these whose heart have turned away from God, these whose heart are not where they should be, I'll give them a new heart that they'll return unto me with their whole heart. How's your heart this morning? How's your heart? In Psalm 51, the psalm that David wrote, asking for God's forgiveness after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and committed murder by killing her husband, Uriah, he says in this prayer that is recorded in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. And we need the mercy of God. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. If God gave each one of us what we deserved, we'd be in hell this morning because that's what we deserve. We're all sinners. But David prayed, have mercy upon me, O God. Wash me. Cleanse me. He said in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Some of us need to come like David this morning and submit our heart to Dr. Jesus. Pray the same prayer. Create a clean heart in me, O God. David went on to pray, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Because I've sinned against you. You see, he sinned against Bathsheba and he sinned against Uriah, but all sin is against God. And David said, I've sinned against you. I've lost the joy. I want that joy back. Create in me a clean heart, O God. How's your heart? How's your heart? Do you say, no God, no God? Then you come to Dr. Jesus and let him operate on your heart. If you've backslidden from where you used to be as a Christian, if your heart's cold this morning, you come to Dr. Jesus and let him clean your heart up. And then number three, quickly, the chosen. The chosen. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 10 this morning. That passage of scripture, we didn't read much of it, just a couple verses, but it was about Saul. Saul. God had chosen him to be the first king over the nation of Israel. He was going to be their leader. He was going to be responsible for protecting them as a nation. He was going to be responsible for providing for them as a people. He was going to command the army. He was going to run the government. God had entrusted to Saul his chosen people. Now, did you notice what verse 9 says, the last verse that we read? It says, "And it was so that when he, Saul, had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart." God gave him another heart. God performed open heart surgery again on Saul. If he was going to lead God's people as God wanted him to lead God's people, if he was going to love God's people as God wanted him to love his people, if he was going to care for God's people, if God wanted him to care for the way he wanted to care for them, then he had to have a heart like God. He had to have a heart for God's people. He had to have a heart of concern for them. He had to have a heart that would break for them if they hurt. And so God gave him a new heart. A heart that loved the nation of Israel. A heart that was concerned for them. A heart that had compassion on them. If you fast forward a few chapters and you remember when God had to remove Saul from being king, he sent Samuel to Jesse's house. And he says, "Samuel, I've chosen a new king." And he says, "He's a man after my own heart. I've chosen a man that has a heart like me." I want to remind you this morning, most of us are Christians here this morning. God has chosen us. In John 15:16, the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." Just like Saul got a call to be the king of Israel, we have a call to be fruit bearers. We have a call to share the gospel. Jesus gave us that simple call in Matthew chapter 4:19 when he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That's our call. And if we're going to go and we're going to fish for men, if we're going to go after people and love sinners the way that God loves sinners, if we're going to care for them the way God does, if we're going to be as concerned for them as God is, if we're going to have a heart that breaks for them like the heart of God breaks for them, then we need to get a new heart. A new heart. How's your heart? How's your heart? How's your heart when you consider somebody that's lost and on their way to hell? How's your heart when you look at somebody that you know is heading to eternal fire? How's your heart when you look at somebody and say, "I know that person's never received Christ. They're on their way to the place of the bottomless pit and eternal darkness where the worm dieth not." They're on their way to eternal suffering from which there is no escape. Once a person goes to hell, there is no escape. The rich man in Luke, when Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man looked up from hell and he said to Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, I am tormented in these flames. Don't think for a minute that hell is not a place of suffering. Don't think for a minute that hell is just a figment of somebody's imagination. Hell is a real place that God has prepared for Satan and his angels, that he'll send people that reject Christ to spend eternity there. And once they get there, there is no escape." How's your heart this morning when you look at somebody that's rejected Christ, when you look at somebody that's on their way to hell, when you look at somebody that's going to spend eternity apart from God? How's your heart? How's your heart? Does it break? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 126, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, You know why they go forth and weep? Because they realize who they're going to, what their destination is. Their destination is a Christless eternity. Their destination is the bottomless pit. Their destination is a place of fire where the worm dieth not. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. The precious seed is the gospel seed. The precious seed is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How's your heart this morning? How's your heart? There are people all around us that are dying and going to hell. We have the answer. We have the solution. We have the cure. We have what will keep them out of hell. And it's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not communion. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No man cometh to the Father but by me. How's your heart? If you're here and you say, no God, no God, you need to come and have surgery. If you're here and your heart's backslidden from where it used to be in your relationship with God, you need to come and let God clean your heart. And if you've been chosen by God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and every Christian has, and you don't have a heart for sinners, you need to come like Saul did and let God give you a new heart. How's your heart? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray for those that are here this morning that say, no God, no God. They're on their way to hell. Father, help them see their sin. Help them see the penalty for that sin. Help them see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for them. Every one of their sins, he bore to the cross and paid for them. Help them this morning to see what he offers them in the gift of salvation and come and receive it for themselves. I pray for those that may be backslidden this morning. They have a dirty heart. I pray you'll help them come to the one that can wash it, make it white as snow again. And then, Father, I pray for the chosen, the ones you have selected to share the gospel. Again, that's every Christian. Help us to have a heart for the loss. Help us to help us our hearts to break as we consider their destination. And help us to be bold in sharing what will keep them out of hell, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please speak to our hearts this morning, Holy Spirit. Work in our hearts this morning. Do in our hearts what only you can do. And we'll be sure to give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.